Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The very last part of verse 4. He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray. Father, you've been so kind to us. Your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the word of God we have in our hands and the opportunity to gather in freedom in this great land that you provided for us. You know our hearts. Every one of us, you know where what our condition is before you. And Lord, I pray that you would bless your word today to every heart. May we understand your will in our lives. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost, we pray they might come to know you and be saved. And Lord, we ask you to bless. Give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. Amen. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, here's a tremendous parable. And by the way, it's sort of said to people who knew something about farming. Now, today, about 80% of our population in the United States lives in cities, maybe a little more. In 1900, 80% of the population in the United States lived on small farms. Lived out of the cities, only 20% in the cities. So we've had a tremendous change in our population and what we do and how we make our work. You know, I'm not a farmer, but I'm the son of a farmer. My father farmed till he was 38 years old. Then he came up here and got a job in the war and stayed with that and so on. But I never did farm. One of my old aunts would drag me on her cotton sack while she was picking cotton. How about that? I think she loved me. Little baby sitting on a cotton sack, and she's dragging that sack in between the things and picking cotton. So I come from two generations, really. And some of the rest of you here do, too. I don't know much about farming. I do know something about gardens. I've had a lot of gardens in my life. I don't have one now and haven't for 4 or 5 years because of the drought. I was pushing that water on my tomatoes and just pushing. I was loving my tomatoes, and I had a 60 by 60 garden, and my neighbor's wells were going dry. And that's what made me stop. I said, well, I can buy them cheaper at HEB anyway. A whole lot less work. But they taste better when you raise them up yourself. I live on land that when you plow it, rocks come up. That's true. And you can pick up all the rocks and put them in a pile and you plow it again and rocks will still come up. You know, out there, some of those old fences, they're nothing but rocks stacked up. They knew how to use them. And the houses they built were rocks. They had plenty of rocks. You know, rocks don't grow anything. Jesus is telling you that right here. Rocks don't grow anything. Now, Jesus didn't explain most of his parables. I think he explained two. This is one of them. Look what he said here. Verse 9, and the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." I don't know how many times I've heard people say the parable is to make it clearer. I'm not too sure. Jesus said right here, it's to make those that mess with the Word of God not believe it, not understand it. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We're talking about four different kinds of soil and what kind of production you can get out of these four different kinds of soil. What he's teaching is four different kinds of hearts. He's laid out the hearts of the world right here. You know what happens when you preach? The great majority are out there and the word doesn't stick. The devil comes and just yanks it off of them. They make fun of you, as he said when they're preaching about the end times. They make fun of you. They ignore you. They think you're absolutely nuts. And they're not even touched by it. It doesn't bother them a bit. Don't get too discouraged when you knock on somebody's door and they don't want to talk to you at all. Don't get too discouraged when you have a friend and you try to witness to them because you know they're lost and they don't understand a thing you're saying. They're intelligent people. They may even be religious people. But they are on the path side. You know, they went out there sowing, and what a man did when he sowed, he had him a sack of seed, and he went out and he plowed and prepared his field, and then he went out and throwing it. Well, some of it fell over there on the path. On the roadbed. Do you think you're going to get any tomatoes on the roadbed? You going to get any corn on the roadbed? No. It's not going to go in. It's too hard. It's packed down. And people are going to drive another cart right across it or another car right across it. And you're going to lose that seed. That's the people he's talking about right there. And that's the majority of the world. I hope it's not any one of you sitting in here today. I used to believe that if I could just make it plain enough, they'd understand and be saved. And I've worked my whole ministry, 54 or 5 years, trying to make the Word of God plainer. Make it where you could understand it. And yet, that's not the only thing. You can make it as plain as you want to be. You can't be any plainer than Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher that ever lived. And yet, people can open this book and say there's nothing there. You got a wayside. You got an area where you run your animals or you run your carts or you walk. And some of the seed that this sower is sowing lands on the wayside. Amen. Well, you're not going to get anything out of it because the birds are going to come along. And by the way, birds many times in the Bible have to do with devils. Yes, you know, I'm not going to say every time, but birds have a lot to do with devils in the Bible. These birds come along. The Word of God has been sown. You preached it faithfully. You've given them a clear understanding of salvation from the Scriptures or something else, and they don't get it. And they walk away, and they don't even remember it. They're not bothered by it at night. It does not keep them awake when they think about what the condition might be or what might happen to them. Doesn't happen. They're on the wayside. That's the majority of the world when you're preaching the gospel. You know, most of the people in the world are not going to be saved. Jesus said the wide road leads to destruction and many be those that go therein. And the narrow way leads unto life and few there are that find it. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You ought to thank God for His grace. You're a small crowd. Notice the next one that he's talking about. He says, first of all, the seed is the Word of God. I think I skipped that. What is the seed? It's the Word of God. What are you talking about? What we got in our hands right here today. We're talking about what Jesus said, what the apostles' doctrine was. This is the apostles' doctrine. You ever said in some church service, well, I believe the apostles' doctrine? What you're saying is, I believe this book. The seed is the Word of God. Now, I went one time during the Christmas season when I was looking for a church in this town. And I went to a church that was about this wide and about twice as long. And they had lots of nice pews, and they had packed with people. And they had extra chairs out in the aisles that you have just a narrow aisle to get by. And my family and I sat there and heard a man who had a crowd like that preach on the donkey that carried Mary. I wanted to stand up and scream. I wanted to say, hey, there's more to it than some little simile that you might bring out. And being kind to animals and what a great position this animal had in the animal kingdom. And I don't know what all it was. It's the Word of God, the seed. Friendship is not the seed. Programs are not the seed. It's the Word of God that's the seed. And what you want to do is be sure if you preach, preach the Word. You say, well, what if they don't like it? Most people aren't going to like it. You say, well, what if it offends people? I've been offending people 55 years. I probably offended a whole lot of them before I ever got saved. So did you while you laugh at me. So did you. The seed is the Word of God. He makes that very plain. Those on the wayside are they that hear and then come with the devil, taking away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rocks. They on the rocks. You know, while you're bedding that seed, you might have a rock as big as a chair. Or you might have one bigger than this pulpit. You might have one that's 10 feet across. And as you're sowing your seed, some of it might fall on that. And if you got a pretty big rock, it might have a little dirt on the top of it. And boy, a little sprinkle comes, rain comes, and that seed germinates. Boom! It shoots out of the ground, and it tries to shoot its roots down. And the next day or two, the sun comes up, no water. And that sun beats down on it. Give it a good San Antonio weather, 105, 10 degrees. It killed it. It's dead. Had no root. You know, there are people like that. That's what Jesus is telling us. There are people like that. They're all mouth. They're all mouth. They have no root. They cannot be faithful to the word they give you. They cannot stick by any decision that they make. Talk about all of us fit a little bit like that. Talk about our New Year's resolutions and our diet plans and our exercise plans and all the other things that we think about doing. He's saying, here are some seeds that fell on a rock. And because there was a little dirt there, a little soil there, they sprung up immediately. But they didn't last. Because all the sun had to do was come up, and they did not have the moisture. They couldn't go down in that soil and get the water. They couldn't have the nutrients. And they died and burned and were away. It says, these on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Look at the third one. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Something else you need to know. I don't care how much you plow. Like I said, I had a lot of gardens. And I've cleaned all the weeds out, and I've taken all the rocks out, and boy, there can't be possibly any weeds in this garden. But the weeds grow faster than the tomatoes do. You know what I spent my time doing in a garden? Taking a hoe and walking down and chopping on both sides of where I'm walking out in the hot sun just so I could let my tomatoes get the moisture they needed. And do you know what? Every row is full of weeds. You just give it a week. Just decide, I'm going to take a week off. I don't want to go out and work in the garden today. I want to take a week off You know what you'll find when you get out there? A whole lot of work waiting on you. Now, you get over by the fence. You get over by the edge of the field. And what do you have? You have Johnson grass and thistles and milkweed and every other kind of thing, and they're all there real good. Would you plant there? Well, even if you plant it, it will live. This one lives. The plant is there. I've seen them. I've had them. The plant is alive. It is actually living. And it has fruit on it, but you wouldn't eat it. Because of what you have over here in the field, where you've cleared out all of the things that were choking it, are so much more beautiful, so much tastier, so much better, because they're not choked by the weeds. And he's trying to tell you that there's kind of people that they hear the word, and the word goes in, and the word is alive, but it's choked. Let me tell you what. Most of us in this room are choked.
Amen.
Most of us in this room are choked.
Amen.
Cares. I know a lot of people that stay home from church because they're worried about their house. They're worried about somebody going to rob them. They're worried about something going to happen. They're worried about... I know some people that for their kids, they got to run the kids to this on Monday and to this on Tuesday and this on Thursday and this on Friday and this on Saturday, and their whole life is nothing but being a chauffeur for their kids.
Amen.
How about riches? People will work really hard if they think they can gain something by it. But hey, if you work so much you can't come to church. If you work so much you don't have time, you're too tired to read your Bible. If you work so much and want to get ahead in your church so much, you will not stand up for Christ. Because it might cost you your job or your promotion or your friend or some other something. Choked.
Amen.
Choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures. You know, the greatest entertainment in the world is on Sunday every week of the year. The greatest entertainment, the biggest shows, the biggest game. You know when they play the Super Bowl? Some churches bring the Super Bowl in. I never felt like doing that. In fact, I probably love football more than any of you. But I don't stay home to watch a Super Bowl. I wouldn't put any game on any TV ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this seed grew, sprang up, but it's choked. It brings no fruit to perfection. No matter how hard you try, you could even water it. You could walk over there to the edge with all those things, Johnson grass and milkweed and every other little thing. I don't know half the weeds in my house. It's never going to produce the type of fruit that you're looking for because it's choked. And then look at the fourth. But that on the good ground are they which are an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I don't know how many of those are in this congregation. I don't know how much we're good fruit. I don't know how much we're good soil. Something you got to do to have soil that will be any good. And the Bible mentions it twice. It says, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. You might say that's sort of like have a revival. That's sort of like repent. Get to repenting. Look, if you will, at Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. what the Lord tells Israel here. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, Hosea 10:12. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Fallow ground is ground that has not been planted. It has not been seeded. It's been left to its own. You know, there's something about this world, God must hate a vacuum. Because you can clear everything off of a 10-foot square of land right there. You don't put any seeds on it, but it's going to grow. It'll be covered. And nothing flat. Why, you've got stuff there that you don't know where in the world it came from. How did it get there? Well, I'll tell you what, you got to leave fields fallow every once in a while. You got to do something to get the nutrients back into them. They need some other crops to grow in them. But you know, when it comes time to bring forth fruit, you don't sow it in fallow ground. You break up your fallow ground. You break it up and you drag the weeds off and you burn. And you pick up the rocks and put them in a pile somewhere over. Then you go back over it again and you rake it and you do your best to get it cleaned up. Do you know, a lot of fallow ground can really produce if it's cleaned up. If it's cleaned up. And God says to Israel, break up your fallow ground. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and in mercy. I would hope that I'm one of those that brings forth fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. I would hope you're one of those that brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I would sort of hope that when the Lord walked down my row, my tomatoes would be fat and full and juicy and ripe. Just what they ought to be. But I'm afraid that most of us really don't fit that bill.
Amen.
Now, when I was a young Baptist preacher, I preached this sermon years and years ago. I still believe it the way I did then. This is not that sermon. I built a new one, but at any rate. I believe the number one is easy to judge. They're lost. Nobody's got any question on it unless some of these people think God's going to save everybody. They're lost. That's an example of a lost man. And number four, when you see a Christian who's walking in joy and they got their life cleaned up and they're testifying, they're reading their Bible and they're witnessing to other people and maybe even winning people to the Lord, bringing people to the church, counseling people, helping them, you say, wow, that's a Christian. Would there be enough evidence today to prove you're a Christian to anybody outside this church? Boy, there ought to be. I would hope there is. I would hope somebody heard you say praise the Lord one day. I've been playing golf in Divine. And a man came over to me. I went out one day by myself. I was just playing. This man came over to me and said, can I play with you? I said, sure. He said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yeah. How'd you know? He said, well, I watched you on another day over there when you hit a good one, you said, praise the Lord. Even in golf. Number four is surely saved. Those are clear. Now, actually, most commentators in going over this will give you the first three are lost and only the fourth one is saved. I don't believe that because of my experience and because of what he says right there. Bring no fruit to perfection. Doesn't say it doesn't have fruit. Bring no fruit to perfection. The fruit's stunted. The fruit doesn't look too good. In my experience, preaching all these years and dealing with a lot of people, most people have a lot of thorns. I believe number two is lost and number three is saved, but they look alike. Both of them made professions. That two that was on that rock sprung up. Hey, praise the Lord, I got saved. Baptize me. Don't see them next month. Never show back up again. People walk by and ask by and say, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I got saved 25 years ago. When's the last time you went to church? 25 years ago. Isn't that about right? Some of you preachers know what I'm talking about. Some of you people that put some time in witnessing, you know what I'm talking about. Number two and number three types of hearts are really hard to distinguish. When I used to have a problem like that, I just treat them both lost. Yep. Treat them like they're both lost. If the guy's saved, he's saved anyway. So I insult him a little bit. Maybe he needs to be insulted. Amen. And if he's lost, you give him an opportunity to get saved.
Amen.
Well, what I want to know is, how much are we choked? How choked are we?
Amen.
What is choking off your prayer life? What is choking off your Bible study? What is choking off your witnessing? What is choking off your giving up some things? What is choking you so that God can't use you like He wants to use you? Choked. Cares. Riches. Pleasures of this life.
Amen.
Boy, that fits a lot of us. I'm afraid it fits me more than the fourth one does. Oh, I want to go to heaven. I would like to hear a well done, but I don't know that I'm going to get it. What can you do? What can you do? Well, what does a farmer do? He takes that fallow field that's been laying maybe for years, or at least a year, and he goes to work on it.
Amen.
He starts cutting down weeds. He starts clearing off rock.
Amen.
He starts getting things out of his life that hinder him from getting a good crop because he's going to eat what he produces. When I was little, you didn't get money to go to the store. You ate what they had in the house. That was corn, that was hominy, if that was chickens or whatever it was. You want a chicken, you went out and wrung its neck, cut its head off, and fried it up. It was good chicken. You were happy to have it. What about your life? Useful? Are you usable? Can God count on you, or will the television interrupt your spirituality? Will the ball game interrupt your spirituality? Will some friend or your job hinder you from doing what God wants you to do? Now, I believe we all ought to work, and we ought to be good workers. I think a Christian ought to be a better worker than anybody else in the place.
Amen.
He shouldn't be somebody goofing off. They're not paying you to witness to people standing around instead of work. I think you ought to witness, but I think you ought to be careful how you do it. We're choked. I'm choked. I believe you're choked. I believe I care about too many things outside the kingdom of God. I love the riches we have. I'm not rich by most people's standards. I consider myself rich in comparison to the life I had all my life. I consider myself rich. Yeah. What about the cares? You got things that depress you and keep you from doing the Lord's will? You get out of that depression. How do you get out of it? I don't know. I don't know how to handle depression. I'm never depressed. I'm really not. You've got a few more days to do the work that God called you to do. You've got maybe a few more years. Is there somebody in your family, in your friends, that's lost that could be won by you if you had a testimony? If they could see a difference in you instead of just thinking you're a hypocrite. Some of you drink, you need to give up going to bars. You need to quit drinking. As far as I'm concerned, you need to quit dancing. My wife's 75 years old and I won't let you dance with her. And she loves me so much and I'm so handsome that she worries about me and she won't let me dance with you. You know what I'm trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that if we break up our fallow ground, we might produce fruit. Amen. If we don't break up our fallow ground, if we don't plow that up, rake it out, burn it, and plant good seed, we'll have nothing. Now, I can't individually tell you what to do. I think you know what you ought to do. I believe there's not a person inside this room but what sees the problem in their own life. I believe God points it out. I believe you've been praying about it. I believe it's in your mind when you read and you say, oh me, oh me. When I read the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, I say, guilty. I can't say like Paul, I kept these all since my youth and whatever. No, not me. Guilty. And then I read the two little commandments in the New Testament where Jesus brought it down to. Love the Lord your God with all your might, soul, strength. Everything. Do you do that? You don't. Guilty. Love your neighbor as yourself. I don't care if my neighbor's got a new car. I want one. I don't know whether they've got everything they need. I want what I need. I don't love my neighbors and myself.
Amen.
Every time I come up to the law, I am thrown back on grace. I'm thrown back on the mercy of God. I'm thrown back upon God Almighty. And His mercy. And His great salvation. What's choking you? What's choking? I know you're in church today. I shouldn't be beating up on you, right? You've done your duty. You made it to church. No, you haven't done your duty. Making it to church is not your duty.
Amen.
God's got a special reason for you to be alive. I don't eat right. I don't exercise right. I'm an old diabetic with heart trouble, and I'm still alive at 75. I'm still driving my car. I'm still walking on both feet, and I'm still seeing out of both eyes. That's a miracle. I don't believe I would still be here if God didn't have something else for me to do. I believe the same thing about you. I believe why you're here is God still has a work for you. I don't know if it's praying. I don't know if it's repenting of certain sins. I don't know if it's going out to witness to some of your friends. I don't know what it is. But God's got a will for you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And God is a good farmer.
Amen.
He wants to see a good result. I'll close with 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. If you don't have these marked in your Bible, you ought to mark them. Love not the world. Well, most everything I love is of the world. Isn't it the same way with you? I love my car, I love my house, I love the air, I like the food, I love the food I eat.
Amen.
Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. For all that is in the world, and here's what's all that's in the world. Listen to it. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Amen, amen, amen.
That's the world.
Yep.
And that's what you love. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. My Christian friend, this altar is open. I believe I started a life of repentance 50-something years ago. And I've never gotten through repenting.
Amen.
I can repent today and I need to do it again tomorrow. God speaks to hearts. He put this on my mind this week. I don't believe I wasted my time. I believe it's the Word of the living God. And I believe it's His message to you. Do what the will of God is for you in your life. I don't know what it is. You can even ask me, I couldn't tell you. Do the will of God. Do the work of God. Do the Word of God. If you're here and you're not saved, you say, well, you haven't been preaching to me much today. Well, a little. You can be saved. You're not good enough to be saved. I want to tell you that to start off with. And you never will be. But Jesus Christ will save your soul if you'll repent of your sins and call upon Him and ask Him for mercy. He'll do that. This altar is open. Whatever you have upon your heart, why, you're welcome to come. Whatever the Lord's laid on your heart. Let's stand, sing number 249.